for the day.
Well, awesome. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. And let's do that. All right. Can everybody see the deck okay?
We can. Yes.
Awesome. Terrific. Well, we're here to talk ab about standing out to win. And this is the fourth of our Indies series, the Indie Consultant series. So we started out in March with business and financial structures, and then in June, talked about contracting for success, and then September, effective resourcing. And now we're going to be talking about standing out to win. Rich and Julian, I would invite you to hop in anytime, and we're going to be talking a little bit about why it's important to stand out, right? In this crowded, crowded room of OD consultants. There are things that you do that are uniquely you, that are the things that are going to be helpful for you to sell to your clients. When we talk about standing out, we're really talking about defining your niche and looking at who your ideal clients are and what your brand is. And one of the things that we'll do in a little bit is we'll take you through an exercise that will help you identify your consulting brand. We're going to give you a worksheet and everything. So, when we talk about niche, what do we mean by that? Niche is kind of the unique place that we sell our services, or the unique ness of you. And a lot of people say, well, I'm a generalist, I can do everything. So just, sign me up for any project that you have. And the problem with that is that you're unreferrable if you do everything, because then people don't know like where to focus you. Julian, I know you have a niche. Can you talk a little bit about your unique niche?
Sure. My niche is a client niche, and that is the social impact space. So I work with purpose-driven businesses, nonprofits, foundations, public offices, and government agencies. So this way, when my org design friends have something that is in that space, they know that I'm the person who will be able to take that with some level of understanding of that sector. So I would say I'm sector focused from a social impact point of view. But my services are broadly strategy and org design.
Awesome. Rich, can you jump in with yours?
Yeah, my niche I have discovered, and it involves something that's behind the things that you have on the slide, which is knowing yourself. And I came into independent consulting as my partners describe it, an arrogant, self-centered know-it-all. And they said the only reason we stayed working with you is because you had another side. You had one side where you would bull in a china shop and you lost us more business than you gained. But we saw another side where you would sit down with a client, put them at ease, and really explore their business and use your knowledge instead of promulgating methods. Use your knowledge to ask the right questions. And so our partnership has emerged with a niche that is, we don't do everything and we almost don't do anything. What we do is, we work with clients to listen carefully and try and figure out and help them understand what's going on with their business and what they might need to do. And of course, we help with some of that. But our niche is shining the light in the hidden spaces and making the hidden visible.
Awesome. Well,
Hey, what's
and
yours?
well, mine is that we provide compensation consulting and individual coaching solutions to help organizations and individuals gain access to systems that they weren't born into. So we do compensation with an anti-oppressive twist. And we serve primarily, like Julian does, purpose-oriented and purpose-driven organizations. So a lot of nonprofits, B corporations. My company is B Corp certified, and other purpose-driven and employee-owned organizations. So, and one of the things that when you're scoping out your niche and figuring out, how you want to narrow the focus, think also about the problems that you solve. So, there are many problems to be solved in lots of different areas. And for me, it's like, oh, well, yeah, there's an org design problem that needs to be solved here. That's not, as much as I love the work, that's not where I'm best for my clients. And there are other people who serve that niche better than I do. So, I really focus primarily on rewards programs, and sometimes that goes into career development stuff as it relates to job architectures and so on and so forth. So narrowing in on who you are, what kinds of services that you provide, and then the next thing is really around identifying your ideal client. So again, well, I'll work with anybody. Well, that's great, and there may be times that you do that, but niching in on an ideal client is also really important. And so you should know who they are, right? Is it purpose-driven organizations? Is it Fortune 500 companies? Is it consulting houses? Who do you serve? Who do you want to serve? Who do you serve better than other people can? And when you're looking at your ideal client, it's really important to understand them. What do they want? Oh, I want, compensation solutions. I want an org design. Well, great, but chances are really good that they don't even know everything about what they want. So, what are they trying to solve for? What kinds of problems are they up against every day? And when you identify your ideal client and who they are and where they are in their process, you'll be able to match your niche to what they're solving for and really clarify your brand. Rich and Julian, I am not able to keep track of the chat, but I see that there are a bunch of things coming in there.
It's actually looking for previous recordings of our former work, so nothing to attend to at the moment.
Awesome. So the last piece really is clarifying your brand. So this is really how you're going to go out to the market. So what results will your clients get with you, right? And Rich, you talked a little bit about, hey, they're gonna know more about themselves because we ask the right questions, right? So yeah, for me, they're gonna get a new set of salary ranges, but that's really not all they're getting. They're getting the peace of mind that comes with having a structure that they can refer to that will help clarify how careers progress in their organization, right? So what will they get with you? And one of the things that we talked about in previous sessions, but we'll talk about it again, features versus benefits. So it's really easy to say, okay, well, my consulting brand is that, I've got an MBA from Purdue University and focused on HR. Well, that's a feature of me, but it doesn't tell my clients why that's so awesome for them. So think about, if you're thinking about selling yourself and your brand, one of the things that is important to think about is, what it is that they get out of the thing that's awesome for them, right? So looking at things like, I've got a master's degree, great. Well, this is so great because, right? So put yourself in that mode. So I've got a ton of experience with Fortune 15 companies, right? So nobody cares unless it comes to bear on the work that you're doing with them. So this is so great because I've seen how programs work in 70 countries around the world, and so on and so forth. So features versus benefits, make sure that you're thinking about that. And one of the best ways to clarify your consulting brand is to ask your clients, what is it that makes you different about working with them? And so, Rich, I'd invite you to jump in on this.
Well, no, I think that's really important, and it's also important to link the features and the benefits together. And it's ironic, one of my clients now, one of my big clients, started with the main feature that we like is that you're in Charlottesville. You're located close to us, and we can face to face. We can do that. But when I think about my features and my benefits, the features are, 20, 30 years with global corporations working in just about every kind of business environment. Yeah, that's interesting. How does that help us? Well, it helps you because we have developed a set of diagnostic checklists based on all that experience. And time after time, we have client, oh, yeah, let's look at your check. Yeah, okay, check, check. Oh, never thought of that. Oh, wow, holy cow, this is real. So the feature leads naturally into the benefit, and the clients can see it.
Yeah, and Julian, I'm curious about how you've seen this come to life with your branding.
My branding, it's come to life based on a story. It's the brand is built on the legacy of my grandmother and how she kind of approached life and specifically me and the experience I had of her. So it comes to life in the values and how we consult more than it does in what we consult on. And that becomes something that people hear about and say, oh, Julian's really good because he'll bring love. He'll bring that facilitative conversation that his grandmother was so known for. And that becomes actually a way to get referred. And sometimes I get referred outside of my niche, because the brand is strong. So I'll get referred for just, one-off facilitations, which is not something I tend to do.
Awesome. And one of the things that's great too, we talk about niche and it's pretty narrow and focused. And when you get work in your niche and establish a consulting relationship with a client, Rich was talking earlier about having some work done on his house. We are having the same thing going on. And once you find somebody that you really appreciate working with, it's like, well, okay, well, you came in to do the kitchen. Could you take a look at the bathroom too? Because oftentimes what will be important to clients is working in that relationship and that trust that you've built over time. So you may want to do more stuff than, just that really finite niche, but the niche can be the entry point to doing other things as well. So let's talk about your consulting brand because we're going to get into it here in just a minute. But the way that we've set this up is there are two main components, and then the brand comes after. But when we think about principles. These are really, this is what you stand for, and it reflects the being of you, who you are. And then there are superpowers. These are things that you are great at, and they're about what you do. So principles, what you are, superpowers, what you do. And when we combine those together, we can get come up with a great consulting brand, right? So how do you want to be known to other people? What do you want them to notice about you? So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a few minutes for everyone to complete this worksheet that we put together.
I
And
just
I'm
put it
just
in the
going
chat.
to, oh, thank you. And what I'd invite you to do, and again, this is not like super structured and you have to follow everything exactly. You know, this is meant to be a thought starter for you. So the first part is principles. So, you know, what
If I may, real quick, Kate, for those who are newer to Zoom. Julian put the link with a PDF in the chat, and next to it in the right corner of the title, the graphic for it, there's a down arrow to download it if you want to be able to see it. Also, if you click on the three dots at the top next to Kate's screen, it says Kate Dixon's screen. It shows who's screen sharing. Those three dots will let you zoom in on your own device so that you can more clearly see what she's sharing if there's anything that's a smaller text that you can't read. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh no, this is great. Thank you very much for that. So in terms of the principles piece, so this is really, you know, what you stand for. So I've got some examples here of different principles, but you know, again, have at it. You know, when I do this workshop in a larger format, I have like 5 pages of principles. So this is just like a handful of things to inspire you. But what do you stand for? And write down a few things. And then the idea is to create an I stand for sentence here. I stand for effectiveness, elegance, and equality in everything I do, right? And I just took 3 words off of the thing. But again, these are not, you're not limited to the ones that are on this spreadsheet. And then the next thing that you'll do is you'll look at your superpowers. What are you great at? And again, when you think about consulting, there are lots of things that are not going to be on the superpowers sheet. So there may be things that really are very specific to organization design. But I want clients to know that I blank, blank, and blank, right? So if you think about these things, and again, you're gonna probably want to spend more time on this stuff at a different time, but things like, you know, I really want clients to know that I listen. I want clients to know that I am super great at optimizing, right? These are doing things. Principles are being things. And then we're going to put those together and put together a brand statement. So, you know, a couple of fill in the blanks. When I blank, I bring blank and blank to my clients or my team or my customers. I am a blank, blank, blanker, which, you know, could get very interesting if you want. And then one of the things that I would really encourage you to be thinking about is one way I do things differently than other people is by blank with blank, right? I advocate with authenticity, right? I superpower with principle. Any questions about this worksheet before we give you a few minutes to dig in? All right. Well, we'd love to give you a few minutes to complete the worksheet. We'll give you until the bottom of the hour, and then what we'll do is will pull you into groups so that you can practice this, and practice talking about your niche and practice talking about your consulting brand. I don't know, Tanya, is it possible to have maybe some music? Is it
It'll take me a second to put it together, but I can certainly see if I can get that done.
I did not think about that to ask you about that before we got on, so I apologize, but
Right, but I do think I had an app on here too where I could put a timer on, so. But I'm not sure that you all can see that when I get it started. So let's see here, 6 minutes maybe. That displaying for you. Let's see if I share it.
it's not. Feel free to go off video so you can focus on your worksheet, and then we'll do breakout.
Well, our conversation was rich and interesting and cool. How was everybody else's?
Would love to hear from someone from maybe each of the groups if, you know, just what you took away. I know we didn't ask for a volunteer spokesperson, but if someone could make themselves heard, that would be nice.
I was in the same group with Kate, so I have to concur with her. It was cool and interesting, and what I took away is all three of us talked about not offering services, but letting the client know we were willing to wade into whatever mess they were facing, and getting them to tell us more about their circumstance rather than me highlighting my credentials and certifications and background and services, etc. That in that conversation, they'll make a decision that I could be of value just because I help them understand their mess.
It's wonderful. Another group.
Well, I was in a group with Janet, who did an amazing job of facilitating our group, and perhaps she could summarize what she heard.
So I was really hoping you would speak, Rich, because you were such a wonderful listener. But what I realized is that we ended up only focusing on the first piece. And that was probably my fault because I was asking too many questions. But I think we had some really first of all, Rich observed. But the three others of us all had very different words that we'd chosen. There were a couple of little overlaps. I certainly could have picked some of the words that the others did, but so distinctive, which really just shows how good this could be for differentiation and positioning ourselves. And then what I really enjoyed was unpacking what some of those words meant, not just as the principles, but also how they translate into action and the way that we show up and work. So I certainly enjoyed the question, the session, but I'm afraid I might have stopped us short of a finish line.
I was in a group with Molly and with Megan, and it was a really rich discussion that we all had experiences working as entrepreneurs, like working within organizations, and then now, some of us working external, helping multiple organizations. But we talked a lot about kind of what differentiates us, and that we all want to help leaders and their organizations get results different than the results that they're getting. But kind of we talked a little bit about like who our client is not. And who our client is, and like that niche, it was with someone. So that aspect of the relationship was an interesting part of our discussion. Anything to add, Molly or Megan?
I think there was at least one more group, if not two.
I was just with Gina, and I had a good time. I think we used words, but I think there was an attitude exchange. I think how we came across with each other began to illustrate how we come across with clients, potential clients, and how both of us get referrals from them. And so I want to just bring in that dimension of it. It went beyond the words. Words, purpose, adaptable, stuff like that. And I'll stop. Gina, you can add if you want.
I would just affirm what you said. And yeah, there was a dimension of the exercise we didn't expect, kind of getting into role-playing, you know, where we went through the exercise you gave us, but then we were actually practicing it, which was a great surprise. And then of course, you know, Bruce and I have known each other for ages. So that was great to get to know each other better. The whole thing was good. Thank you.
Lovely. Shelley, would you be able to speak for our group?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we're either all borderline high achievers or a touch of extreme focus on the words. I think what I'm taking away from our group, and it was Anna and Jenya, I'm not saying your name right, Jenya and Julian, we all focused on finding the right words and what the words meant. And when we talked about the words, you could almost see this connection between the word and the person. So I think what I'm walking away from this session was, it's not just the word, because we can all pull a dictionary, but the time invested to figure out the word and what the word means to you and how it resonates with you and your brand is so important. And I think the value in bouncing it off of other people to see their reaction, and the thing that you might say something that you feel like is kind of a mediocre answer, and to see somebody else's reaction and the clarity spark in them is really powerful. So just this activity of really forcing ourselves to think about the words create the drive for us to spend more time thinking about it, but bounce it off of other ideas, other people, was so powerful.
Was there one more group, or is that all of them? Tanya?
I think there was ours. We had Enid and Lisa and another Janet. So we spent some time, we just shared ours out and got feedback, which was really helpful. And I think some of the themes that came, you know, as Shelley was just sharing around language and language simplification, and not trying to fit too much into the statement so that it's clear. And then also just, I'm now reflecting a lot more on how to bring the principles into the language as well. So telling more of a stronger story of who I am within the pitch.
Lovely. And I think one thing I'll note is that those are starter words. The list is actually much longer. And our group did go off list a few times, which was lovely because that's what was needed. But the list is also there to get the sparks going. My biggest takeaway from this is that developing your brand statement is a group activity, because we work in groups, we work for others, we consult to others, we work with partners, and that brand statement is not really, it's ours, but it's shared. And so how it lands, how it resonates, how it picks up is really where it matters. So I do recall when I first started my brand, I took it to a few people and I was set on my brand. And they go, yeah, but what about this and what about that? And I was crushed. And if I had not invested so much time alone in developing my brand, I wouldn't have been so crushed. So I would say, as you go in and explore this further, if it's the people you met today, if it's other partners, to definitely do this in community. And one of the ways to do that in community is at the Org Design Forum conference in April, where Kate and I will be holding a Designing Your Organization Development Business pre-conference workshop on the Monday. And we're going to be doing some things around niche and brand, but a bunch of other things. I don't know, Kate, if you want to talk a little bit more about that, or if you have anything else to close us out.
Well, let me share my screen again. Before we get to the pre-con thing, just wanted to kind of sum up some of the things that we talked about today, you know, niche matters. And I think this exercise really helps you understand why, you know, make it easy for the right clients to find you, right? And know who they are and what they need. Understand the things that make you unique, because I think, you know, as we heard earlier too, there's a million different ways to approach this stuff. And that is important to helping to differentiate yourself. And be clear about this stuff and make sure that you're amplifying the message, right? Talk about it all the time. And as you talk about it, you'll refine it. And as you refine it, you'll sink into it. And that's going to only help you as you work with your business. So the pre-con session, we've got unique value proposition, which is going to be an extension of some of the things that we've talked about today. Project scoping, pricing, developing strategic partnership. One of the things that we didn't talk about with your consulting brand is that really honing in on what your niche is and what you do well will help you know when to call in those strategic partners to collaborate. And we'll spend more time on that because we're going to have a half day to work on this. So you'll see more information about the session when you see the information that's going to be published. And I'll ask Tanya, when do we expect that? Is that tomorrow?
If all of the website gods align, it'll go out today.
Awesome. Awesome. So
and so it'll be an announcement about the whole conference, and part of what's available then is this particular session.
Well, any questions for Rich or Julian or myself before we call it a session?
I have one I'd bring up. It's a pickup on what Julian was talking about a few minutes ago. And it's the question of, do I want to define my niche or our niche? And I think of it as I'm working with any particular group of either collaborators or preferably collaborators among the clients, if we can together define what we're doing here, what we care about, what we're working on, what good we are, even just for this week or this moment, I find that to be really, for me, more powerful than what I am and how I define myself. I just want to ask if others have thoughts about that. We're out of time, I know, but for me, it's a big question.
Super interesting question. So thank you, Bruce. Enid, I saw your hand up.
I can ask you offline. I just was wondering, the session you're having, is it only for consultants that have a practice focusing solely on org design, or can you have service areas beyond org design?
Absolutely, you can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm one of the folks who's facilitating, and I don't have an OD practice. So
that's what I thought, but I better ask.
Yeah, no, that's great. We will be talking about, you know, how it relates specifically to OD though. So, you know, if you don't care about OD at all, then probably not your best thing. But what else? Oh, James. James, you're on mute, James. James?
For quite a while, I was partnered with the RBL group. And the RBL group was initiated on leadership development, then transitioned to organization performance and reinvention or transformation, that was my niche, and then transitioned to human resources. Essentially, you know, in a partner meeting, I offered up that I didn't fit into that HR group. It wasn't my niche, wasn't where I felt really good. And I took three customers with me and left the organization and started up on my own. So I think that idea from Bruce's question is being true to my niche paid off big time for me. And sort of the willingness to leave the others and not have that transformation work as a distraction to HR seemed to work out very well for my ex-partners as well. And so I'm a figure out your niche. Don't make it too narrow, but figure yours out and be true to it. And it's a lot easier to be really good at it.
Niche success story. Thank you, James. And I'm happy to stay on for a couple more minutes if other folks have questions or want to cover anything else, but I know we're over time now, but thank you so much for your time and attention, and we will talk to you again soon.
And Kate and Julian and Rich, as always, thank you for your time putting together the exercise for folks to work on here. We appreciate it as volunteers. It's wonderful of you. And then real quick, Bruce, on your question, to clarify in my mind, were you asking about promoting yourself as an us versus an I? Because I do have that issue come up some with my clients that I provide admin support for. It's do their clients have a concern if it's just an I instead of an us?
The more edgy side of it is not promoting myself, to say, what's the us? And how do we not promote us? How do we be us and make it happen rather than promote it? So I'm trying to take the edge there. There's more to it, but I want to push that edge. I don't know if that's helpful.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I was just trying to look at it as people who are really solo practitioners, if you've come across challenges with people saying, well, I just don't want to rely on one person. And so it's better if you're appearing to be part of a group or a small, partnership versus just saying, it's me.
So what I do on my website is I say kind of what I do, which, and then I have a sentence that says that I bring in partners kind of to my ecosystem as needed in order to fulfill the client's full needs. And so part of my business development is I'm always networking with solo practitioners all the time, because if there's something that they do that I don't do, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how I addressed it. I just have like a sentence in my about section that talks about my approach.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
I think there was something said earlier as well, and like focusing on the problems that you solve more than how you solve them. I think it also leaves a lot of room for you to bring resources. So one thing I was going to add, it didn't come up earlier. I've learned a lot over the past several years just through the practice of competing for work or like learning who I'm competing with. I find it hard sometimes to go out and promote myself as the product or something like that. But when you put it in like a competitive set, to say, okay, how are you different than this big firm or this small firm? That's pretty easy. Like I can describe that, really straight away. So sometimes it's helpful just to say, who are the players that I find myself competing with most often? And then how are you different from those? I just think that's easier than to say, how am I different from everyone? And which seems kind of arrogant. So.
Yeah. I love that.
Different and better.
Yeah. And it's helpful because, again, you want your clients to need the specific thing and want the specific thing that you can offer. And, so there are occasions where I'm like, hey, I'm not your gal. That's not my niche or that's not my specialty. And I have somebody great to refer you to. So.
All right, folks, anything else we can help with while we've got you on the line? Otherwise, I'm going to at least pause recording and I can stay on the line and always answer any questions particular about ODF or folks who may have anything I can help with. In other words, we wish you a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye.